chomping at the bit like a 2-year-old. You see that? Well, would y'all stand to your feet, please? Amen. I wanna read y'all something. Y'all get a bulletin. Everybody get a bulletin. Well, I want to read something. It's a certain man that's standing with us today that has a birthday. And this certain man just happened to be my dad slash one of the better men that's ever been in my life. I'm eating. But anyway, I want to read y'all something that was put in the bulletin. This is from Pastor Shirley. It says, a minister of the good news. There was a couple named Leru and Thera. Children they did desire, but they told that they never would have. The father prayed for a son who would be a preacher of the good news. God granted his request, and the son was born. They named him Gerald Wayne. His parents took him to church faithfully, for God was first in all they did. School he did attend and excelled in his studies, for a teacher he wanted to be. God had a plan, and it began to unfold as he answered the call to be a minister of the good news instead. Never once looking back, making a mark in history, as a faithful man of God, many times the enemy came with physical attacks, wanting to put to silence the voice that proclaimed the good news. A standard of truth was raised. God's word did prevail. He stands now as a warrior of faith, an example to those near and far of God's wonderful grace. And that's an awesome statement. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy birthday, Dad.
Jesus. Get this thing up. All right, I got it. I didn't know that was going to happen. I asked Sister Shirley. I said, can I open the service Sunday morning? She said, yes, you may. Now, I really didn't associate this with having anything to do with my birthday. But God gave me something. I've been pondering, been meditating. 70 seems a lot further away than 69 for some reason. But turning 70 starts a new era. And see, my mother died when she was 69. And with all that I've gone through in the last few years, this little voice, you know, the little voice of the devil hanging in your head. He said, your mother died when she was 69. You are too. You're not going to make it to 70. And as I've been meditating and pondering through that, and I was reading the scripture, and this came to my mind. How much is too much? No matter what you're talking about, when you get in on how much is too much? How much is too much that it will make you stop serving God? Now, you think back through your life and your church experience and thing, maybe things even you've had go through your mind, and the people that you know that got to the point where too much was enough. And they quit serving God. I've had it. I want to read you a scripture. We're here this morning to praise God, to worship God, to celebrate the life that God's given us. And I told Laverne, we were sitting on the front porch a day or two ago, maybe it's yesterday, and I came across the verse of scripture where it says, and even though our outward man perishes, our inner man is renewed day by day. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I'll soon be 70. And there's no doubt that my outer man is perishing. The older we get, the shorter time we have in our outer man. I said, my outer man may be perishing, but my inner man is just as strong as he ever was. We then, as workers together with him, capitalize him, that's Jesus, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain or uselessly. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then Paul talks to the Corinthians thusly. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. And I was sharing this with Laverne, and I said, you know, some people would read that and they would think that Paul was bragging about himself. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. And what Paul is saying there, in everything that happens to us, we reflect that we are still ministers of God. No matter how bad the situation, you'll never see me as anything but a minister of God. That's what Paul's saying. In all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. In much endurance, when we're having to endure something, we still reflect ministers of God, not the endurance. In patience, in tribulations, in needs. Paul's saying, even if I'm in need, God's still the number one thing that I'm going to reflect. I'm not going to reflect the need. In distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the truth of, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now, nobody ever said that because you're a Christian, the sea is always going to be calm and the wind's always going to be friendly. Because Paul went through all of those things. And I've actually had people say, well, you know, Paul experienced some of the stuff because he just didn't have enough faith. You know, faith ministers. And I believe in faith. But I think that things are going to happen to us sometimes when we got blindsided. We didn't ask for it, and God didn't say, I'm going to give it to you whether you want it or not. Sometimes we just come head on against things in life that are out of control in this world. You see, we were meant to have dominion over this earth, but Adam gave up that dominion, and since then everything's gone haywire, and the only thing you have dominion over is that part of the earth that you influence. You can pray for somebody, for yourself, for your family, for your friends. You can pray for them and say, Lord, I ask you to heal them of cancer. And you believe it and see it. But you see, you don't have enough dominion and authority based upon what the world did when Adam and Eve sold it out. You can't just pray a prayer and say, I just pray and just speak the fact cancer is gone. Nobody will ever have any more cancer. You don't have the kind of authority. Now, if everybody was willing to serve Jesus Christ, we'd see that thing coming around. If everybody would say, okay, God, we're going to do it your way. Because that's what Jesus came to do, to save it, to seek and to save that which was lost. And that which was lost was man's dominion over his circumstances. And so now we have a world, we have a sphere of influence, and we are in dominance in that area. The scripture says in Hebrews, in Revelation 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. But it also says something else. And they loved not their lives unto the death. In other words, living a life wasn't the most important thing to them. The most important thing to them was serving God. Doing what he called them to do. And that's where it's got to be with us. Because listen to what Paul said, and then I'm finished. And we're going to praise God, and we're going to worship God. And I want you to think of all these things that we said in this, in sleeplessness and in turmoil and in labor and in sorrowful, but rejoicing, as poor. Having nothing. All of these things. Paul doesn't say, okay, now if it gets bad enough, you can quit praising God. If things just get too hard on you, just sit down and pout. Paul said, no. You show yourself as a minister of God no matter what you're going through.
I want to jump in just a minute. You know, it says, you know, it's interesting that I've been reading different verses, but saying the same thing. But we used to sing a song here. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's going to do. The word and faith is my sword and shield, and Jesus is Lord of the way I feel. Well, that's from Habakkuk. And if you remember in Habakkuk 3:19, normally in the King James it says, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, and it goes through all that. It says, still I'm going to praise the Lord. This is what it says in the Message Bible, which is exactly what he's saying. And it says, though the cherry tree doesn't blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat feels stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns empty, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God, counting on God's rule to prevail. Now, why can you do that? Why can you praise God in the storm? Why can you praise God when it's not going good? Why? Because His rule is going to prevail. And what's His rule? What's His rule? Is His word. All right. And then He says, all right, Paul, I take heart and I gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I'm king of the mountain. And then it ends, this is for congregational use with the full orchestra. This was a song that was sung with the many, many singers and the musicians that they had. You got to understand, you've got to believe that God's rule prevails. That's why you can stand through the storms.
And one last verse. He says, after saying all of that other stuff, he says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. In other words, we're not putting a set of rules and regulations on you, so you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't have this, you can't have that. God's word is the final rule, just like Laverne said. And this is what Paul said. But you are restricted by your own affections. Revelation 11. And they love not their lives until the death. If your life is your affection, the point will come where you'll sacrifice some important things to save your life. And through history, there have been Christians that have had to be burned at the stake and beheaded and drowned and everything because life didn't mean as much to them. It wasn't as much of an affection to them as their relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, interesting thing, the powers that oppose Christianity, they didn't rejoice in a Christian dying by the lions mauling in the arena. They didn't rejoice when the Christian was burned at the stake. They rejoiced when a Christian said, okay, I'll renounce Jesus Christ in order to stay alive and escape this trial. That's when they rejoiced. And the world's still trying to do the same thing to us today. I had a lot of opportunities in the last 5 years to say, God, I've had enough. But I never wanted to do it. Because nothing that was happening, and nothing that I stood to lose because of the physical things that I was going through, held as much affection to me as my relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing that through Him I have eternal life. And I'll tell you what, that'll set us free. That really will set us free. You live through it. Because life is alive in you. The inward man is renewed day by day.
Exactly. Well, on that note, if everyone would please stand, we're just going to give our pastor a round of applause, and we're going to sing happy birthday to him in just a few minutes. But we just want to honor you and really say happy birthday. So if everyone would stand, we're going to just give him a round of applause and just celebrate the 70th birthday. We're so happy and glad that you didn't quit, that you didn't give up, that you didn't stop, even though it would have been easy to do that. And this day is all about you, Dad. All about you. And we've got some special things planned for you. Miss Phyllis put together some things, and we're like I said, we're just celebrating you. So, if you'll look somewhere. Yeah, just keep looking. You might see some people that came to honor you today.
Proud of yourselves.
I love you, you man of God.
You too.
You're awesome. You're awesome. Precious. Precious. There's a song out, "You're a good, good father." You're a good, good father. That you are. That you are. I love you.
I love you too. What a surprise.
Thank you for all you are. Thank you for the anointing that resides within you that we take from. Love you, man.
Love you.
Are you surprised?
Am I surprised? I don't see how they pulled it off.
That's what I just told her.
John Deere tractor to the farm hall.
Yeah.
I love you, Jerry
Rutherford. I love you too, Clifton.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Surprise, surprise.
This girl right here is technically a cousin, but she's...
But she's my little brother.
She's my actually brother. My sister.
Sister, this is my brother. This is surprise.
I'm telling you.
We're going to sing Happy Birthday right now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen.
Yes, you did. He said, "We got you, Dad." I said, "Yes, you did."
He kind of threw things off. We had it planned a different way, but then last minute he said, "I'm going to open the service." I was like, okay. What are you going to tell somebody on their 70th birthday? You're going to say, okay.
Well, they're going to do praise and worship.